Okay, good morning, everybody. All right, this morning, that you may be healed. People want to be healed. And they have a lot of good reason to want to be healed. Easy. Yeah. That got you going here, Michael. You don't. You don't know how well off you are, my young friend. Amen. You know, it says in Matthew chapter 9, starting in verse 35 there, Jesus went through all these cities and villages. Matthew 9 and 35. Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness, every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like a sheep having no shepherd. He said to his disciples, "This harvest is truly plentiful. The laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." That's a great snapshot of the condition of the world. And it always looked like that. Obviously, this first century time, but was like that always. Before, still like that right now. Jesus said in this world there'll be rumors of wars and pestilence and earthquakes and famines. He said in the world you're going to have tribulation. You will have. That is Bible. And so we have it. Just like it says. But yet Jesus, when he was on this earth, he went through all these cities and villages wanting to preach good news concerning the kingdom that was to come. Prophesied. You go all the way back to 2 Samuel 7. Even before that, they knew a Messiah was coming, going to bring in the kingdom of God. Then Jesus shows up and started to teach the people, well, John the Baptist, first repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They knew exactly what he was talking. That was what they were waiting for, the Jews. John get put in prison. Jesus pick up the same message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Said some of you won't die till you see the kingdom, he said, come with power 2,000 years ago. They're like, whoa. Then some of the Pharisees demanded, when? When will this kingdom appear? Jesus said, look, when they say, oh, over there. No, over there. There it is. Jesus said, don't go. He said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And I know some of you are taking notes, and I'm remiss here. That's Luke 17 and 20. Through 21. He said, it's coming. It's here. If I cast out demons, he said, by the finger of God, know this, the kingdom of God has come upon you. The Apostle Paul would say in Colossians 1 and 13, he has transferred us from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Present tense. 2,000 years ago. But like Jesus said, look, it don't come with observation. It's within you. That's what he's telling Pilate. Pontius Pilate was all concerned because he heard Jesus was the king of the Jews. He said, you the king of the Jews? Jesus said, did somebody tell you that or did you know that of yourself? Pilate said, am I a Jew? That's John 18 and 33 and following. Jesus said, are you speaking for yourself about this, or did someone else tell you this concerning me? Pilate said, am I a Jew? Your own nation, your chief priest, delivered you to me. What have you done? Jesus said, my kingdom is not from here. If my kingdom was of this world, my servants would be fighting right about now so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from here. Pilate said, well, look, are you a king then? Jesus said, you rightly say I'm a king. For this cause I was born. For this cause I've come into this world, that I should bear witness to the truth. And everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate's like, oh, what is truth? Feeling like he's just getting a runaround with all this trouble and this double talk. He wants to know what the heck is going on around here. Crazy Jews about ready to get me in big trouble with Caesar? I've been warned. Any more trouble in Judea, I'm holding you personally responsible. Read Josephus. He'll tell you that. Pilate was trying to get out of the whole thing. But because his kingdom was not of this world, that's why his servants weren't drawing real weapons and fighting. All you got to do is read in John 17. His kingdom, his people, would not be of the world, but they would be in the world. We're here, but we're not of this place. Paul said, look, your citizenship is in heaven. That's where your citizenship is at. It's in heaven. He went about every city, every village. He had good news for these people, and yet he was healing all their sicknesses and disease. And man, they were coming. Because people want to be made whole. People want to be healed. Gee whiz, we talked just a little bit about it just a second ago. Brother Jerry, man, I just cringe. Third time around on that hip, man, the dude keeps falling down. Man, put him in a body cast and put wheels on him. Don't let him walk. Until he's fixed, completely healed. I can't imagine falling right after a hip replacement. Ugh. We just mentioned earlier in the announcement, you know, got the news there, that Rod Yarger will have open heart, bypass, I guess, surgery tomorrow. You know, Rod, I don't know how old he is. He's probably 75 or whatever. And if he'd been in the greatest health, man, that COVID like to did him in, man. But you know what? The Bible tells us you're not supposed to stay here forever. I don't know about y'all. Being there was my adopted dad, who passed away a couple, 3 years ago at 86 or something, and Sue's folks, I'll tell you what. I don't want to hear about no 85 and 95. Are you kidding me? Sliding from the recliner to the wheelchair to the recliner. There comes a time, man, we got to let it go. David said, this day I'm going the way of all the earth. A guy was 70 years old. 500 years before him, Joshua said, this day I go the way of all the earth. They're talking like they're waiting for a bus. They're going to die. Most people freak out at the idea of dying. But the good news, look, if you don't know anything about the Word of God and the hope that Christ brought into this world and what the good news is all about, yeah, according to Hebrews chapter 2, people spend all their lifetime subject to bondage because of what? Their fear of death. I want to make sure I said that right. I said Hebrews chapter 2. And when I got Hebrew 4 popping up in my mind, but I just want to double check. I don't trust myself anymore. Through all their lifetime, so yeah, that's Hebrews 2 and 14. Then as much as the children partake in the flesh and blood, he likewise himself shared in the same, that he would, that through death he might destroy him of the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who fear of death all their lifetime subject to bondage. What do you mean by that? Because people do weird things because they're scared to die. We put ourselves in a little box in a prison thinking we'll be safe here. That's a prison cell you just created for yourself. That's not freedom. Jesus said, truth sets you free. This is all about freedom. This is what good news is all about. Got the message, we heard a message. You know, Davy and Sue are supposed to be coming here. A lot of you guys know Davy and Sue. Then we hear Davy's got to go to the Cleveland Clinic, man, for some major surgery. They finally figured out what his issue's been all these years. Some hiatal hernia bleeding thing or something or another. Going to rearrange his insides or something. Davy, I don't know, he's got to be 70-something too. He's older than, I know he's older than I am. I'm 71. So, Jerry, Rod, Davy, I don't need to tell you about Tom and Melva, and how in the world Linda and Buddy are still ticking, really putting the Lord to the test here, you guys. Good to see you this morning. Just kidding. So we're glad you're with us, Linda. But you've sure had your fair share of challenges in this life, and not only just, but like we all do. If it isn't you, it's your family, it's your friend, it's your relative. Nobody escapes it. That's the whole point. Jesus walked through there, every city, every village, and that's what he saw, and it's still like that today. So the people today still need the same thing. He said, look at this harvest, Christian church. I've got this all ready for you. This place is so screwed up. All you got to do is throw some good news in any direction, and you're going to hit somebody that needs to hear it. Now, I realize that you can't make nobody hear or believe nothing, because when you boil it right down into the go ye into all the world and preach good news to every creature, you're only going to get so much opportunity, because number one, Jesus said, no one can come to me unless my Father draw him. So there is some behind the scenes action that's got to be taking place. Not everybody's looking for truth. And according to Big John in 3, Jesus said many won't come to the light because they hate the light because their deeds are evil. So really, in a way, we're not out there trying to bring these crazies in here that are just downright dangerous. We're testing the spirits. We're looking for truth seekers. But the only way you can do that, because you can't tell by looking at somebody, you know, if they're a truth seeker or not. But it doesn't take much if you get a chance to sit down or get to know people at work or people that, you know, family, friends, whatever. It don't take long to figure out whether somebody's a truth seeker or not. It comes right out of their mouth. We were talking about that in our study because we're going through the book of James. Everything that comes gushing out of somebody's mouth came from their heart. You don't have to be with people very long to figure out what kind of action was going on in there. Now, some people, don't misunderstand me. Some people are really messed up and they act messed up, but you know why? It's not because they're downright mean and nasty. It's because they don't know what they're doing. And they're miserable in there. That's a real candidate for the truth. It's somebody whose life is so dysfunctional that they feel like they have no hope no more. And they might act out with anger issues or rip your head off or not like anybody. They're always over in the corner at work and they don't like everybody. Go, that guy's a jerk, man. Maybe the guy ain't a jerk. He just doesn't know how to act. And maybe that's exactly what they need, is somebody with a little bit of light shining in that direction. So when Jesus went through there healing all manner of sickness and disease amongst the people and told them to pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into that harvest, because that harvest was ready. Now it says, of course, be careful what you pray for. He told them to pray the Lord of the harvest. Well, next thing you know, he's sending them. So if you're going to pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers, get your suitcase ready, I guess. I'm just turning to Matthew 10. So he gives them power, the apostles, you know this story, gives them power to over the unclean spirit, Matthew 10, verse 1. to cast them out, heal all kinds of sickness, disease, such things as, well, he wants them to preach this. As you go preach, verse 7, kingdom of heaven is at hand, and heal the sick. I think I opened up my message saying that you may be healed. Everybody wants to be healed. He said, well, then go. I want you to preach the kingdom. I want you to heal the sick. Cleanse lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. Okay. Man, they could do these miraculous things. I'll just add a couple more. If you look across chapter 11, right there, maybe on your same page almost. Verse 5, it says, the blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor of the gospel preach to them. That's what they were told to go tell John. All these infirmities that human beings have all over the world. And if you don't have some kind of physical infirmity, you've got an inner man infirmity. It's called the old man, and he is totally dysfunctional. Full of bitterness, hatred, lust, substance abuses, murder, and stealing, and lying. Those things really defile the man. Now, some things in life are external to you that come upon you that you have no say over. Sometimes it's the result, basically the law of the harvest. You sowed it, now you're reaping it. It's one or the other. Now, Tom and Melva going through stuff for a long time. Mary and Bailey. I guess Bailey's doing a lot better. That's a good thing. But even Bro John back there, you know. And others that have had to take care of someone that's really sick. It's obvious Linda's at end of lifetime, you know. That is a long road to be there, to go through these kind of trials. And I, for one, have got a whole new appreciation of being clothed in sackcloth and ashes. This rash is driving me nuts from my neck down. I'm still waiting to hear results from a pathologist. They don't know what it is right now, but I'm all red and itchy all over the place. Easy. Well, Sue asked me the other day, are you feeling like Job yet? I'm this close and wish they take my birthday off the calendar. You know, I had a couple, it's been a long time ago. The woman was diagnosed, it was at the federal center. She was diagnosed with muscular sclerosis. And man, that just devastated them. They were young, I guess, probably if they were 40 maybe, I'm not sure. She was very, you know, nice looking and life all in front of them, and you know, they got this diagnosis, she got MS, and, you know, they knew me, I knew them, but everybody kind of knew what I was kind of about up there with the, the ministry and the humanitarian aid, and man, they want to talk to me. I knew what they wanted to talk to me about. They wanted me to come to the house, and I went over to the house. They told me, it was devastating to them, because she was probably going to end up, you know, basically paralyzed. I couldn't believe that. And they wanted, the whole idea was, why are they talking to me? They want to know what God can do about this. I know what they wanted, like everybody else, what they want. They want to be healed. They don't want to face that, man. They want to be healed. We just read examples. You can see it in the Bible. Jesus went through cities and villages, and then he sent the apostles out. They were doing the same thing. Can you imagine being able to do that? people lame, never walk, born blind, retarded, all kinds of sickness and illnesses, and you're able to literally make them whole? Can you even imagine what that would have been like? But see, then that window closed. Now, some don't want to hear that, because some will teach you today, you know, don't take my word for it. I've had people tell me, no, they're still doing that today. Come on, in this age of cell phones? Are you kidding me? This was done openly, public, thousands of people, and they didn't have CNN and ABC and Fox News and Geraldo in 2020 and Live at 5. They didn't have any of that. Man, that spread like wildfire. Now we got all these people walking around, everybody and their brother with a camera, a video, a cell phone, and you're trying to tell me dead are being raised, blind can see, lame are jumping out of wheelchairs. In this country? Why I say this country? You can't do nothing in this country that somebody don't have it posted. It's like, give me a break. Openly, publicly, and flip the world right upside down. You're telling me we got that today? Right. Look, there were dinosaurs. They're finding these big bones. Go to Montana, go to the Bozeman, what do you call it, Museum of the Rockies. You can see some big T-Rex in there, man, big brontosauruses, stegosauruses, big bones of all these rascals. Those things were walking around here. And somebody say, we still got them today walking around. Don't you think that somebody would notice in Calhoun County that there was this great big footprint in the tomato patch? Don't you think somebody would notice if a Holstein cow was bit right in half? You might see it along I-94. How are you going to tell me them things are walking around here? Danny LaPointe dug a big mastodon out of the ground over here in Olivet, one of them great big hairy elephants. You seen one of them around here lately? They were here. The evidence is they were here. The Bible makes it clear this happened. Why did that fade away? Because it gave way to a much greater healing. When I sat down with this couple, I knew what they wanted. But I was trying to gently elevate their thinking to go from a physical healing to a true healing, so that she would live forever. But I could tell the more I was unpackaging the bigger, the greater healing, the more eternal aspects of it, and eternal life, their shoulders begin to slump. They were deflating like, you know, them rubber things that got in the yard, them things that are pumped up and flap around. Or you see them snowmen or them Halloween things, and they go by in the morning, it's frosty as a big, he's deflated in the yard. You got to pump old Frosty back up again. The more I went in that direction, the more they deflated they became, because there's only one thing they wanted it now, is God to heal them. Man, I get that. You know what I'm saying? I get that. But I'd be lying to them if I told them that would. See, don't misunderstand. In the Bible, and we should pray for sick people, but you have to make a distinction when we're talking about this subject. A true miracle is the setting aside of natural law. When somebody's in the hospital and we pray for them, like with Jerry or Rod or anyone else, and it works out well and they're back on their feet, well, praise God for that. But that's not setting aside natural law. Troy's not here today. He wouldn't care if I picked on him. Troy's not going to come back in here with two arms one of these days. You know what I'm saying? He lost his arm in an accident. Could Jesus put one back on him in back in these days? Yeah. So could the apostles. But that would be setting aside natural law. Calming the wind and the waves is setting aside natural law. The lame that never walked, the blind that never saw, those kind of things, if they're done because somebody walks up and says, heal, boom. If somebody dead, you guys know that run emergency services because it was the same when we run emergency services. You got on the scene that somebody was dead? Well, if the police aren't there yet, you need to call them because they're coming. Why is this guy dead? Well, maybe natural causes, okay. But you do your paperwork. The cops do their paperwork. Maybe the medical examiner shows up. He's doing his paperwork. The funeral home guys show up. Can you help us out here? Yeah, well, okay, help them get in there. They do their paperwork. They take the guy down to the funeral home. You got all these officials that were involved in handling death of one unseen. If that dude shows back up to work on Monday after he'd been dead, and the cops know it, and the fire department knows it, and the EMS knows it, the emergency room knows it, the medical examiner knows it, the dude was dead. And now he's back at work, somebody gonna notice. I heard a guy on tape one time because somebody trying to tell me they're doing that today. I said, no way. He gives me a tape. It starts out. It's a religious program. Got music and everything. Welcome to the hour of whatever. I don't remember what it was. And this preacher got on there saying, yeah, we heal dead people all the time. Raise them up. Me and my other preacher buddies. I'm doing, the dude's a liar, man. Where's he getting these dead bodies, number one? You are not allowed to be driving around with a dead body in your car. So where is he getting these dead bodies? And in this society, when people die, there's a ton of paperwork and a lot of officials are involved. So I'm like right out of the gate, this guy is lying. Said they do it all the time. Don't get me going on that. Well, I have to track myself. Look, believe it or not, within a year or so, the woman find out that what she had, the one I was talking about, the couple, misdiagnosis. She didn't have it. And they went on their merry way and eventually even got divorced, but she didn't have MS. And don't get me wrong, I'm glad about that. But there was no healing because setting aside natural law and the ways I just described is the difference between somebody sick and in the hospital, you pray for them, and they recover. I say praise God for that. I'm going to be leaving for Sweden on Monday. No, Friday. This Friday. And some of you already told the guys yesterday at the breakfast, but I want to make my point here. I'm going to go see Esperina. It was Esperina Duraco. It's Esperina Skolkio or something like that. Some of you know Java Duraco. He was here, baby doctor. And actually, Esperina, his older daughter, was here. That was 20 years ago. But most of his family's been here. Anyway, friends of the family from Kosovo for many years. She was the first one to have a grandchild, and it was Leva. And she was a sweetie, and Esperina's sister, older sister, Arda, because she's barren, she literally, you know, adopted that child as her own. Just loved her to death. Well, right before COVID, you know, Esperina, or Leva was about 7, they noticed her gait, something in her step didn't look right. I got a feeling Job had started, because he's a baby doctor. Anyway, they took her to Istanbul. for a diagnosis. It came back muscular dystrophy. She has muscular dystrophy. Man, they were in total denial. No way. I mean, all upset. You know, sent me all these documents, you know, medical things to have doctors here look at. I sent to Cleveland Clinic, U of M, Michigan State, Grand Rapids Children. They all said same thing. Don't send her here. Grand Rapids said, we had done the same test. That's what it is. They still were in denial. And my good friends at Handicross in Kosovo, they deal with people in wheelchairs, paralyzed people, kids with muscular dystrophy. I knew them before they knew, or we all knew, that found out Leva was being diagnosed. So they got involved. They tried to help them. Ilya was telling Esperanza and her husband, you got to get her in a wheelchair and you got to get her seated properly early. And boy, the dad got mad. They didn't want to hear it. So they didn't, and she ended up worse. Now she got scoliosis. And Esperanza headed for Sweden because they could do some sort of surgery to get what Michael had to have done. And, well, I think, Maggie, you had that too. Steel rods in your back, man. Serious stuff. Well, in order to get it done, and she was in Sweden, they told her, we can't do this on a tourist visa. You've got to be a refugee. She got her status changed to a refugee. And when we were over there in May, I was asking, in Kosovo, I was asking Fiola, I said, well, how's Sabrina doing in Sweden? What's going on? She said, well, Mr. Steve, they put her in a refugee camp. It ain't going well at all. So here she's in a refugee camp with a bunch of people from all over these third world countries, a bunch of gypsies that she said that Swedish people are scared of them. And she's stuck there. She said, I will do anything I can for my daughter. She's going through all this. She hadn't been home in over a year. She's been in that camp 5 months. Nobody can see her. Her family can't go to Sweden. They can't get visas. Her husband can't go. She's alone in a refugee camp. And when I got a hold of her, when I found out she was in the refugee camp, and what she said to me is, Mr. Steve, I am destroyed. I am destroyed mentally, emotionally. I have no hope. I said, can I come there? Can I get on that place? She said, well, you can't get in the center, but I can come out on like on a day pass. I said, I'll come. Now, why am I going? There is only one thing on the face of the earth that can take somebody out of that darkness and give them any hope at all, and it's in here. This is not about some Western religion. Christianity is not a Western religion. This is not about just come to church or whatever. No. We are talking about opening up in her understanding the hope of the world, the light of the world that transcends far beyond cultures or anything else. This is for Africans and Asians and Europeans and Russians. This is for everybody. And it's the only thing powerful enough to cut through that darkness so that she can have hope and joy and peace in believing. She can abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Nothing else on the face of this earth can do that. That is what this is for. That's what Jesus said. Look at this harvest, he said. It's ready. Now, I can't make her believe nothing. One thing I got going for me, number one, she knows me. I've been a friend of the family for 20 years. She trusts me. They all know I'm a preacher. Gee whiz, Java Duraco, he marched in our parade down here back on Memorial Day. I think he's on our website. He always praises the Bellevue Church of Christ. He just did the other day because he found out I'm going to go see his daughter. He was in tears. He said, me and my wife are crying. How would you feel if that was your daughter? You couldn't get to him. Somebody can get to her. So she is very happy that I'm coming. Now she'll bring the kids because she's got the kids. She's got Leva in a wheelchair and her little boy with her in Sweden in that camp. So I'll be there 2 days at a hotel in Malmo, Sweden. I thought, Malmo, that sounds like a hole in the ground. I didn't know it. It's the third largest city in Sweden. It's a very nice city. So Jude got me a hotel room. And that's the plan. Now, I know more than anything what Esperina would want, her daughter healed from muscular dystrophy, and to be able to go home to her family, her husband. I know that's what she would like. Who wouldn't? I know that. This is not about blowing sunshine up people's noses with this message that we have. We have to make this real. Now, the one thing I guess I would say at this point, I tried talking with her 4 years ago on her dad's porch when the diagnosis just came in and she was still in denial. And I very gently said to her, Esperina, you know that if this is true, that don't forget, Leva is still Leva. Leva's not her legs. She's still in there. And you know what? That little girl is sharp. And she speaks English. And she's going to be either sitting or laying right there. They have her in a bed. The picture she sent me, they have her in a bed, hospital bed. The hotel, whatever. She can do whatever she wants. I got a feeling she's going to be listening to Mr. Steve. Now, I know what they'd love to have, but we got to get real. And we've got to begin, because I'll tell you what, this isn't us trying to do the impossible, because guess what? All humans are made for this. They're actually designed for it. This isn't some afterthought that came into the world 2,000 years ago. You're made for it. I'm made for it. Obviously, you must have seen something because you're here. Other people ain't here. You're here. Well, you just smarter than everybody else? How come you get this and people you know don't? Well, either don't want to or never heard yet. So I'm starting with the assumption she's from the culture, basically moderate Muslim, but she's not moderate. She's nothing. Neither's Javed. I don't know what they believe. All I know, she's a human being. She is made for this. And to say I have no hope and I'm destroyed, I show that picture, you know, that guy with the apple, that Ukrainian soldier. I think it did a lesson on him. Look at that guy. What did the Russians do to him? Tortured him, starved him, beat him. And then when he took a little bite out of his little apple, the guy was sobbing. He's so broken. Does God look down from heaven and see somebody like that going, oh, geez. Oh, oh, I hate it when that happens. Oh, hey, sorry, buddy. It's been rough, I know, but I don't know what to tell you. No! They're made for this. That's why God can allow the darkness. Because the light that came into this world is greater than any darkness that other wicked people want to impose on other people, or if something happens to you through no fault of your own, like you get a muscular dystrophy or hurt in a car wreck and you're paralyzed or whatever, that ain't the end. Where there's so much power associated with that relationship, coming to God through Jesus Christ to be born again, you have a whole new potential. You can rise and walk in the newness of life even in a wheelchair. And I don't mean because you just got out of it. You can rise and walk in the newness of life if you're born blind. If you have this disease or that, look, we're all going to die anyway. We got to make this real and relevant. So God willing, on Friday, I'm going to fly over there for 2 days. I have no idea how it's going to go. I personally think it'll probably go well, only because I do know her. I know the family, and she's human, and she's smart. She's a pharmacist is what Esperina is. And her little Leva, she's sharp. She's now 11. She's 11. Now, Blairham, the brother-in-law, would be Esperina's brother-in-law, Actually, he was here with Fiola. He told me in May, he said, Mr. Steve, he said, I don't know. He said, the doctor looked, because they want to help Leva. He looked at her and he said, you know, if I do this surgery, there's 99% chance you're going to die. He looked her right in the face and told her that. He said, 1% chance you'll live. So he asked Leva, he said, you want me to do this surgery? He said, Blairham said, Leva looked him right in the face and said, yes, I don't have no life now. Blairham said, I don't know if he was just saying that to test her. I kind of think he was. Told Rick, and he kind of thought so too. It is a dangerous surgery. It's pretty rough. But Leva said, yeah, do it. So, Lord willing, a couple days there, come back, be here back, God willing, by Monday. I'll let you know how it goes. But you know what? It's for everybody. It's for her and everyone you see, everybody you know. But when we got to make it real. We can't. This isn't about just going to church. We got to get that. It's walking with God, knowing God, being the friend of God. A man or woman after his own heart. It's in the relationship. Like Jeff was bringing out, appreciate the communion message. Those little individual things, because he died for you as an individual. He looks down from heaven, sees all the sons of men, and he fashions their hearts individually. He don't just do the whole group. You're not just part of a big group getting in because your group got in. He wants to have the relationship with you. And he sees you. He's not far away. And I'm going to show her those verses. Because in him we live, we move, we have our existence. He's close by. And she needs to know that. He's not a God afar off. So, that you may be healed. The real healing comes from the inside out. That always was the message. He just used the physical healings so that people knew if he can do that on the outside, then what he says he can do on the inside is real. Thanks for your attention this morning.